Going to open them to the book of Jude. We'll begin looking at verse number 20 of Jude. Jude. It is a small one. In fact, it only has one chapter, which is why I say we go to verse number 20. Right before Revelation. So the last book in the Bible is Revelation. The second to last is Jude. And we'll be looking at verse 20 and verse 21. So here we go. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this time. I do pray, God, that you would strengthen us, help us, God, to grow in our faith, to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Thank you for this time, God. I pray that you bless our efforts to grow in our faith, to increase our faith, to impact by faith. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There's a story that's told about an old man who was wandering in the desert, parched, thirsty, looking for water. And he stumbled upon an old shack, and on the porch of this old shack, he found a water pump. Next to the water pump, he saw a very nice glass jar of what looked to be crystal clear water. But on that jug, it said, "Do not drink. Use all the water to prime the pump." So here was this man. He was thirsty. He was tired. And all of his instincts told him that if he used all of that water to prime the pump might not work. What do you do? If you use all of your water to prime the pump and the pump doesn't work, you're out of water. And here you at least have a gallon jug of water. It can last you a couple days. So he had a conflict of faith. Does he trust the pump or does he drink the water? He decided to pour the water into the pump and he began pumping, and finally an abundance of cool, fresh water came to the top. And that really is a great illustration of what faith is. Faith kind of gives you something that you can use for another purpose, but God says, no, trust me with it. Trust me with it. Give it to me and let me use it. And it's hard to say, you know what? I'm thirsty. In the Bible, the word faith is used in two ways. It's used as a set of beliefs, our faith, defend the faith, contend for the faith, or an expression of confidence in God and His Word. To have confidence in God. The Bible is truly a well of springing water. It's an amazing thing. Spiritual water. But we must place our confidence in God's Word if our faith is truly going to work. We have to say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust His Word if it's going to work. We've been studying on Wednesday nights the Word of God and how God revealed Himself to us by the Word of God, how He inspired men. It's been very interesting how we've looked at quotes in the New Testament that quote the Old Testament authors. And in the Old Testament, it's an author writing something. We might say, David said this. You know, Moses said this. But in the New Testament, quoting that scriptures, it says, God said this. The Holy Spirit said this. Knowing then, proving that the Bible is the Word of God. And we mentioned this on Wednesday night because some pastors today, they're getting really cool and hip and they're doing some really cool stuff. And one of the things that they've been doing that I find baffling is they'll talk about the Word of God in relation to who wrote it. You know, Paul says here in this particular verse and that, and they'll do that. But then one of the things that I found that they do, it's amazing to me, and I don't understand why you would do it, but they'll say things like, I disagree with the Apostle Paul here. And the problem with that is it's not the Apostle Paul. It's not the Apostle Peter. It's not Moses. It's not David. It's God. God revealed himself in his word. It's the inspired word of God, and it comes with that. It's infallible, which means it's not going to fail. It's inerrant, which means it doesn't have error, because it's God's word. The Bible teaches us that, and because of that, we can have faith in what it says. And that's what it comes down to. And yet still in life, we know we have the infallible, inerrant word of God, and yet still in life, we suffer to make decisions based on what it says. And we'll argue with, well, I don't know about that, you know, and like these preachers, well, it's 2017, and our culture has shifted a little bit, and therefore we would disagree with this particular text here. And what? That's not faith. We want to have faith in the Word of God, and that's why it's so important to understand that our faith can have an impact, but our faith has to be in the Word of God. The book of Jude was written as a general epistle to the early church to warn them about the apostasy that was coming into the early church. Apostasy is false teaching, false doctrine. And there are many false teachings about Christ already creeping into the church at the time that this particular epistle was written by Jude, again, through by the Holy Spirit. And Jude exhorts them, again, the Holy Spirit, through Jude, in verse 3, to earnestly contend for the faith. And this particular verse, in verse number 3, faith is reference to a set of beliefs, what we believe. Contend for what we believe. Don't allow people to tell you things about Jesus Christ that aren't true. Don't allow people to say, hey, he really wasn't risen from the dead bodily. He was actually more risen in spirit and just kind of came around in the spirit. And, you know, that's what it was. No, contend for the faith that he bodily rose from the dead. He rose again in his body from the dead. Contend for that. Defend that. It's important. Contend for the fact that he is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Defend that. Contend for the faith. Contend for the fact that he was born of a virgin. Contend for that. That's earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the fact that salvation is by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We should earnestly contend for the faith. That's exactly what Jude, verse 3, is telling us. But then Jude admonishes us in verse 20 to build up yourselves on the most holy faith. So the idea is that their confidence or their foundation was to be placed in God's word. Building up ourselves in God's word on our most holy faith. Today, I want to learn how to develop this faith in our hearts by building on the truth of the Bible. One of the reasons why I thought it was important on Wednesday nights to go through the study of what the Bible is not only because I hear these things in our culture where preachers will say things that denigrate the Word of God, but it also has to do with your faith. If you believe that this was just a bunch of writings by a bunch of men about how they wanted to bring people into subjection, you're not going to have very much faith in it, are you? And there are people that believe that today. I've actually heard somebody say, the Bible is just a bunch of old tales by a bunch of white guys that want to bring people into subjection. Hebrew, white, whatever. You know, it's whatever. But the reality is, no. This is God's word. This is important. And what it says governs our lives and will help us be successful. Will help us be prosperous, will help us learn how we can lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven and preach the gospel to the lost and see a great harvest of people come to know Christ and to see their souls saved and their lives changed by the preaching of the Word of God. That's important, that we know what the Word of God is and we have faith in it so we can live our lives by it. So how does a Christian develop a life of great faith? The first thing we want to understand is by declaration of the Word of God. In verse 20 we read, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the Word of God produces faith. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And even the Apostle Paul admonished those believers. He says, you've heard it as word was the truth. You've received it as it was the word of truth, not as it is in the words of men. You've received it as the words of God, not the words of man. It's important. Building up ourselves on our most holy faith. The word of God produces faith. As you read the word of God, as you study the word of God, as you accept the word of God, it builds your faith. It helps you grow. It's kind of like the water pot. As you pour the gallon of water down the water pot and you pump the water pump and water comes out, as you prime the pump with the water, the next time it comes around, hey, been here before. Still yet, you have to trust it. Still yet, something could have happened between the time and it could have broken, but you have to trust. You have to say, you know what, I'm pouring the water down. We're going to pump. Here it goes again. But the more and more you do it, the more it builds your faith. The more it's not such a thing where you go, oh, I don't know about this, I'm thirsty, I need that water. You kind of come back and say, you know what, this is trustworthy. I've built up myself on the most holy faith. I have trusting the Word of God. I've spent time in the Word of God. I know it's reliable. I've used it in my life. I've seen the Scripture. I've applied it in my life. I've seen the fruit of it. I'm going to do it again. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. And that's what's important. It might be tough for a new Christian who comes into the Word of God and they see something they need to change in their life and they say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. That's scary if I let go of that. I don't know if I can trust that. And I see other people doing it. They're okay. Maybe I'll just, and there's a tough decision to be made. Lord willing, they'll make that decision of faith in the Word of God. And as they do, they'll see the fruit of that in their lives. And then they'll come to another thing in their life that they need to change and say, you know what, we did this before, and it gets easier. Never easy, but easier. It's always a battle of the flesh. Telling your flesh no is always a struggle. But it does get easier, and at least your faith is built up as you grow. Most of the time. Again, it's a battle, don't get me wrong. It's a tough battle. You go and you make a decision, and then for some reason, you know, we won't trust the Word of God, and we'll make a bad decision, and our flesh will bring about the result. They that sow the flesh shall love the flesh, shall reap corruption. And then they that sow the Spirit shall love the Spirit, reap life everlasting. We keep going back and forth. We sow here, we sow there. We struggle, we battle. But as we sow in faith, we'll continue to build in our faith. And that's important for us too. The Word of God produces faith. The Word of God propagates faith. Do you know there's over 32,000 promises in the Bible? 32,000 promises. What's amazing about that is we can go to the Old Testament and we can see some of those promises that he made to some of these other figures in the Bible. And we can see how he came through on those promises. And how he supplied their needs. One of the men I think of is Abraham. How God made promises to Abraham, and then he fulfilled those promises to Abraham. And we can look at Abraham and say, you know what? Wow. If God fulfilled his promises that he made to Abraham, he'll fulfill the promises he made to me. And we can look at these men, and we can say, you know what? That's amazing. In fact, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, speaking of Abraham, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We want to have a faith in the promises of God's word. You know, sorrow looks back. Worry looks around, but faith looks up. Faith looks to the Bible. Faith looks to Jesus Christ. It's important that we have that. So if the word of God brings about faith, if it propagates faith, if it promotes faith, then we're really important that then first of all, we must hear the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, but and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which again is the Word of God. Paul's preaching is saying, you know what, I don't want my preaching to be the wisdom of men. I don't want you to say this is man's wisdom. I want it to be God's Word. In spirit and in power, and that you should be in the power of God because the word of God is quick, it's powerful, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We want to be in the word of God. Our hope of salvation or spiritual growth cannot stand in the wisdom of men. Because it's always changing. You know, one of the areas that always changes is in what you should eat. There's good fats, there's bad fats, there's this fat, and then they change it all on you. You know, eat an egg, don't eat an egg. Eat meat, don't eat meat. Make up your mind already. Right? The wisdom of men is always changing. And I think there's obvious healthy things and there's obvious unhealthy things. There's things that, you know, duh. But there are some things that they change all the time. Eat this, eat that, don't eat this, don't eat that. Wait a minute, we found out there's good things in it now. Just eat already, right? You're going to die. Either way. Again, there's obviously unhealthy, there's obviously healthy, but there's stuff in the middle that they just mess up all the time. And there's that way that's true in life as well. You know, they give you these ideas that this is what you need to do, this is what don't do that, do this. Oh, you know? They mess up. Even in the scientific world, they're always changing stuff. Their theories are always developing on this and that, and you can't base it on man's wisdom. You have to base it on God and His Word. It's really important. So you have to hear the Word of God. Hearing the preaching of the Word of God leads to a strong faith. Our hope of salvation, and again, is not in the wisdom of men. So if we have to hear the Word of God, we have to read the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. Study it, read it, learn it, get to know it. It's important. Read the Word of God, hear it preached. So our faith is developed, is grown by the declaration of the Word of God. Secondly, by the appropriation of God's Word. What we hear declared, we need to apply. It's important. It's one thing to hear the Word of God. It's a totally different thing to apply it, to live by it. Again, I could probably give you what the Bible says on every situation that you need to do, but in my own life, my struggle is doing what God says for me to do. That's all of our struggles. Applying it consistently. This is what the Bible says. Do this. Apply the Word of God. We have to trust God. Again, our flesh doesn't want to trust God. Our flesh wants to say, you know what? I got this figured out. I know what to do with my life. I've lived life now for me 35 years. I have some experience. Right? We tend to trust that experience. We tend to trust our understanding rather than God. How foolish is that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's important. Man, my own understanding, or we could say man's collective understanding. We're talking about this about Wednesday night, and we're talking about how there's genetic breakdowns over time in the human body, unfortunately. We're not the best specimens of human that have ever existed because of the reproductive process. It's okay. God still loves you. But there's something that we have today that other generations of mankind haven't had, and that's the accumulation of knowledge. Google, right? I mean, it's amazing. You have this accumulation. I have access quickly at my fingertips information that most generations never dreamed of. I mean, you can know anything you want to know. Some of it's true, some of it's not true. I mean, it just depends on what you come across, but it's there. There's libraries and libraries and libraries of knowledge everywhere. And then you got people's opinions on the knowledge. It's great. It's there, and the reality is that's amazing. And we tend to think of that, but wow, our understanding is pretty incredible. I heard some research on that, though. It's pretty fascinating about what we actually have accumulated in knowledge today compared to what we could have if we knew everything. Like if you knew everything in the history of mankind, like God does, compared to what we actually know, I mean, there are things today that you can Google it, but there's still things that we don't even know how our body works completely. You know, there's still parts of us that they're still kind of, well, I'm not really sure what that is. Let's cut it out. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it works. And the thing is, again, we have a lot of accumulated knowledge, but we're still lacking quite a bit. And I heard this analogy. I can't remember how big the biggest God's knowledge is, but it's like the universe compared to a drop of a pin. The knowledge that we have today compared to what we could have if we had all knowledge. It's like a pin drop, the tip of a pin in the universe. And that's our knowledge. Even if you had all, and we got like, all we have is like this tiny bit of that in our head, and the rest is on Google, and that we're going to challenge God. Because he does have all knowledge. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And we're going to say, you know what, God, I got this. Stand back. Figure this one out. Really? Okay. And that's what's crazy about God is he says, go ahead. Have it your way. Do what you think is right. Thank you. And we go and mess it up. And he goes, all right, come back. Let's fix this. Every single time. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And the God who knows everything will direct your path. That's important. Making sure that we apply the Word of God. Trusting God and his Word. We trust God through different areas. We trust God through prayer. We trust him to bring our prayer request to him. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We also cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. We're careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. That's kind of tough. God, let me worry about my stuff. You know, I got problems. Let me give it to God. He says, no, come on, cast your care upon me. I'll care for you. Prayer is important. We have to trust God in giving. You know, I mentioned our church is a giving church. That takes faith. You know, giving. Because giving isn't just about letting money go, right? Miss you. It's about trusting God for his provision and his blessing in our lives. It's about identifying that God's in charge of me and my finances. And that's why when the offering time comes, it's supposed to be liberal and cheerful. Yes, we're trusting God. Have a good life. Make sure they spend you right. I'll be watching you in the reports. Give. And then witnessing. You know, witnessing is one of those hard things where our flesh tells us it's not going to work. This is not happening. You're not going to be able to witness to somebody and have them trust Christ. And we go, yeah, you know what? This is kind of crazy. What are we doing? It doesn't make any sense. Because he says, no, trust me. Preach the gospel to every creature. Just get it out there. Be a witness. Having faith. Again, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. That's how we overcome, is by faith. Not in a blind trust, going, okay, God, here we go, we're overcoming the world. It's by trusting the Word of God. This is what God says, and this is how we overcome sin. This is how we overcome the world. This is how we overcome the devil, is because we're obedient to what the Word of God says. We're specifically having our steps aligned by the Bible. He's directing our path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and for us, it's from the Scripture. He orders our steps. We're not just out there going, okay, God, make this happen. Here we go. That doesn't work. I can do all things, right? That's the big one. I can do all things. Here we go, God. Make it happen. No, you have to be obedient to his word. And that's how he makes it happen. There's a quote that says, feed your faith and your doubt will starve to death. But feed your faith on the word of God. One night a house was caught on fire, and there's a little boy who was stranded on the second level of the house, and all the boy could see was smoke and flames. However, he could hear his father's voice. And the boy said, Daddy, I can't see you. And the dad replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. Trust me. And for us in our life, there's many times we go through and say, ah, God, I can't see you. God, where are you? And he tells us, listen, I can see you. Trust me. And if we can't see God, what caution should that be to us for when we do make our own steps and do determine our own life? If we can't see God, how are we supposed to see the next step in front of us? We can't. So trust God. Let God do the guiding. So we have to trust God. We have to obey God. A person's faith is not judged by what he says about it, by what he does about it. You can say what you want to all you want about God. But what are you going to do about it? It's amazing. I don't know if you have friends like this, but I have a few friends like this. And they don't have the greatest testimony for being a Christian, sadly. But every once in a while, they'll come out with some stuff. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, I'm trusting God every day. You know, it's like, where did that come from? I didn't even know you even believed in God. They're going out the house, yeah, and they'll give some great statement of faith, and the whoa, wow, that's interesting. Because they have a knowledge of God, but they're struggling, and we all do, to obey him. And there's not a life that's consistent with belief. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The Bible recognizes that there is no faith that does not lead to obedience. He had faith, but he didn't obey. That guy. That's not in the Bible. Faith always leads to obedience. That's what faith is. You can say, yeah, they had great faith, they just didn't obey. When faith is not exercised, it is often a moral aversion in the human that will identify their self-will and pride. In other words, I'm smarter than God. I know better than God. I figured this out. Someone once said, faith is not a pill that you take, it's a muscle you make. It's not something that you apply to your life, it's something that you use. When God has a big job to do, it's always faith that gets the contract. So when God's out there saying, hey, listen, I need a big job to be done, who's he going to give it to? Faith. Somebody that has faith. Somebody that believes him. Somebody that will obey him. Somebody that will follow through with it. That's who he gives it to. So we have faith is built by the declaration of God's word, by the application or the appropriation of God's word, and then thirdly, by separation unto God away from sin. Just as faith begins to work, Satan will try to hinder our walk. You know, again, we have an adversary. He is the devil. He's trying to destroy us and our faith. And when he sees us have a little faith, when he sees us have a little bit of, you know, yeah, we're going to do this, he shows up. So what do you do? In verse 21, we read this, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. First thing we do is declare our faith. You have to unashamedly walk with him. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we walk in it, we declare our faith, and then we defend our faith. Again, you have to hear the word of God to defend it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In developing a life of faith, we have to learn to avoid exposure to wrong philosophy. It's important. Sometimes there are things that come in, ideas that come in. Again, I mentioned it's popular today for preachers to say, well, we would disagree with the Apostle Paul on this point. That's a wrong philosophy. That's wrong doctrine. That's apostasy. We need to be able to reject that and say, no. No. And the Holy Spirit will help us with this. But we say, that's not right. That's wrong. We're going to stick to what the Word of God says. We're not going to disagree with God on anything. Then we have to guard against wrong influences. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23, we read this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We have to be against things that are against our faith. You know, there's an illustration. You can't be for the garden and not against the weeds. If you're for the garden, you're against the weeds. That's important. Hey, there are some things that we should be against in our life. There's some things that say, hey, that's not right. Sin is not right. I can't have that in my life. I can't allow that in my life. If I'm going to build up my faith, if I'm going to root my faith, if I'm going to ground my faith in Jesus Christ, those things that would distract from that, I need to say no to. That's bad. But we can't be for sin and for faith. We can't be for a walk with God and a walk with the world. There's some things that we're going to have to defend ourselves against. Some things that we're going to have to constrain in life. Some things that we're going to have to develop in life. Some hedges that we're going to have to build to protect. If we're for faith. Because there are things that tear down faith. There are things that disrupt the walk with God. And those things have to be avoided. I know it's not popular. It's just we're not against anything. We're for everybody. Jesus loves everybody. He does. But there are some things we're against. Sin being chief among them. It destroys. It kills. It ruins. The wages of it is death. Not good. We're against it. In our lives. In anybody else's life for that matter too. It's not good. So this morning, how is your faith developing? Are you hearing the declaration of the Word of God? Or are you hearing somebody minimize it? You know, in research for the morning Sunday school lesson, I came across an article by a secular source, and they said it was about the nation of Israel and Egypt. And they said there is no evidence that the nation of Israel was ever in Egypt. That's not true, by the way. There's archaeological evidence that they were there. But that person, and that's a philosophy, that's a teaching. If I'm not careful, yeah, you know what? I don't think they were there either. Sure. And you start to doubt the Word of God, and little by little, your faith shrivels. We have to guard against that. We have to hear the declaration of the Word of God. And then as we hear the Word of God preached, are you applying it? As you've heard me preach, the parable that Jesus gave of the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, the only difference between them was application. They both heard the Word of God. Jesus said the wise man is the one who hears the Word of God and does it. The foolish man is the one who hears the Word of God and doesn't do it. But the differences in their consequences are vastly different. One, their house stood firm. The other one, and great was the fall of it. All about application. Did you apply it? Again, we might even say both of them, if we can use that analogy, both of them are going to the same church, hearing the same preaching, hearing the same word of God, but one neglected to apply it. Wasn't the word of God's fault, it was the application's fault. It wasn't applied. And so are you appropriating the message? And then are you separating yourself unto God and away from anything that would hinder you in your garden of growth and faith? Are you growing your faith? Are you protecting it? Are you fertilizing? Are you watering it? Are you growing it? Trusting God, listening to His word, and seeing Him do a work in you. Because that's important. That's how it happens. It's not a pill that you take. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, pastor, I got one of those faith pills this week. I am struggling. It's not how it works. Now, I need a courage, too. Courage, faith, meekness, temperance. Just give me the whole fruit of the Spirit. It's not a pill that you take. Again, wouldn't that be great? Marketing idea. All right. The reality, it's a life that you live. It's a developed, it's as you hear the word of God, you apply it, you obey it, and you grow in that faith step by step, moment by moment. You're hearing, applying, and you grow in that. And the moment you stop applying is the moment you stop growing. And that is the challenge of faith. Because we are tempted to lean on our own understanding of every moment of every day. I know best. And God is gently reminding us, no, I know best. It's not a matter of pride, it's a matter of truth. He's all knowledge. We have a speck of a speck, if that. So trust Him. Lean on Him. And let your faith grow. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for faith. God, I pray that You help us to grow our faith, to build up our most holy faith, God, in You, in Your Word. God, I do pray and I ask that You would speak to our hearts tonight as we seek to follow You, God. It's really a simple message in its application, its lesson. It's just hear God and do what He says. That's faith. But God, I pray that You help us as we are challenged, even as we leave here today, and even as we listen, to respond in faith. I pray You help us develop a faith that works. And God, my prayer is if there's somebody here that does not know You as their Savior, they're not sure that heaven is their home, they're not sure that Jesus has saved them from their sins, that today, God, they might be saved. I didn't preach necessarily a salvation message, but if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. If you'd slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. Is there anybody like that here today who said, Pastor, I'm just not sure Jesus is my Savior? I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I have some doubt about that. If you slip your hand up, I'll see it and I'll pray for you. By that indication, it would seem that we are believers here, all of us. And so I pray that our faith would grow. I pray that each one of us would take steps of faith to hear the word of God, to apply it, to get away from vain philosophy and false doctrine and to get away from sin and the things that so easily beset us. I pray that You help us to run with patience the race that is set before us. I pray now, God, that You bless this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The reality that we only have a speck of all the knowledge possible, and it's really a speck of that speck, should bring us to the reality that we need God every hour. And we're going to sing that song, hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. Hymn 118.